for me, really the message that I want you all to take back, to think about this. You're dealing with humans. These are human beings. It could be...
Evelyn Chumbau is from Cameroon. She's also a survivor of labor trafficking.
Being a victim at such a young age, I have trauma. But think about that. It can be your child. It can be your sister. So
Chumbau told this panel of U.S. senators how she was brought to the United States from Africa. She expected to go to college. What Chumbau says she got was a life of slave labor. And before you ask, the state says it's happening here in Alabama.
We have children doing the job of an adult, and they don't have that level of safety that an adult would have.
Robin Wilburn is the Child Labor Inspector Supervisor for the Alabama Department of Labor. She's also a new member of the Alabama Human Trafficking Task Force. Wilburn says many undocumented children are forced into jobs upon arriving in the U.S.
And they're also doing jobs that you're long hours on their feet, cold conditions or very hot conditions. It just depends on what job they have.
Many of these children are working in meat processing plants, agriculture, and construction. Most are coming from Central America, Guatemala in particular. Wilburn says they first have to find false IDs to get these jobs.
One of my young girls that was working at the meat processing plant, she was fired after 2 days because somebody else was already using that name and Social Security number.
And when her bosses found out,
they told her to get new papers and come back.
Which sounds cheap and easy if you're okay with breaking the law. But Wilburn says it's not.
In interviews with them, they're paying anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000. I don't know who is the source that they get their IDs from, but most of the driver's licenses that we looked at were from neighboring states, Tennessee, North Carolina.
State Attorney General says four North Alabama massage parlors were fronts for human trafficking.
State raids on massage businesses in Huntsville made the news earlier this year, including this report on WAAY-TV.
Way 31 Sydney Martin has been digging through the court documents all day, getting reaction, in fact, from local businesses.
These are industries where sex trafficking and labor trafficking often overlap, just not clearly.
Labor trafficking is not necessarily sex trafficking. Sex trafficking is always labor trafficking.
Doug Gilmer is the resident agent in charge of Homeland Security investigations for the Birmingham Field Office. He says when it comes to breaking the two down, you must look at them individually. Here's step one.
The two main forms are sex trafficking, which is the facilitation of a commercial sex act through force, fraud, or coercion, or in which the victim is under the age of 18.
And defining labor trafficking is a little different.
Labor trafficking is another form of human trafficking, and labor trafficking is very similar in that it's the use of fraud, force, or coercion to employ, harbor, transport, otherwise exploit a person for the purpose of forced labor, slavery, debt bondage, peonage, that kind of thing.
Peonage is where people work off a debt with labor. Congress outlawed the practice in 1867, but it's reportedly going on now in Alabama. Immigrants trying to make a new life for themselves cross paths with people looking to exploit their situation. Gilmer says many of these people are working in plain sight.
There are industries in which there doesn't necessarily have to be a lot of skilled labor. It could be housekeeping at a hotel. It could be dishwashers at a restaurant, cooks. Could be the agricultural industry, manufacturing, those types of things.
This is where the Alabama Board of Massage Therapy comes in. Keith Warren is the executive director of the board.
We have approximately 50 out of the 709 that we have licensed as massage therapy establishments, or that calculates to 7% of those that are out there that we've identified and participating in that type of activity.
The board licenses and regulates massage therapists, the parlors where they work, and schools where they learn their trade. The state also inspects these businesses and investigates them if necessary. Warren says there are several red flags to look out for when looking for some of these illegal operations.
Those that fit the criteria basically have facilities close to state lines, heavy trafficking areas like truck stops, heavy traffic exits around the state.
Some breaking news right now out of Jupiter, Florida. Police there have just announced that the owner of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, has been charged with soliciting prostitution.
The courts are still sorting out the high-profile case in Florida against New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. It can be argued that alleged Johns know what they're looking for. I asked Warren how sex workers end up in situations like this. His answer may come as a shock.
The information that we've obtained during the investigations is that the conditions that they are presented with and given when they are here are tremendously greater than the conditions that they have where they originally came from.
In other words, they're better off turning tricks in a massage business than their former life back home. These businesses are often a front for human trafficking, but in Alabama, the Massage Therapy Board is very active in fighting back.
We are probably one of the very few states out of all 50 that have the authority to go in and inspect an establishment without having an official complaint filed against them. So we are pretty much the lead in the nation on being able to go after these type of complaints.
Those fighting traffickers know the best way to stop the process is to take away their means of carrying out their practice. The state of Alabama has a new tool that helps in this effort, as well as offering another way to help the victims.
It's not too far akin to what we see in the forfeiture side for criminal cases.
That is Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall. His office came up with a new law that's designed to fight traffickers and help victims at the same time by giving state prosecutors a specific power.
To allow us in a civil setting to seek very immediate relief through a temporary restraining order and then subsequently a preliminary injunction when we are aware of a business that it either has been, is, or will be engaged in human trafficking.
We continue to follow breaking news at this hour in West Huntsville. Federal law enforcement agents just wrapped up a search at the health massage parlor that's off University.
Before, prosecutors could only charge traffickers with a crime. Now the victims can hit massage business owners in their wallets. Marshall says the cases in Huntsville are the first time the state has been able to use the new law.
It's a wonderful tool for us to then not only seek that immediate relief, shut down a business or businesses that we believe are engaged in this effort, and then allow the civil courts to be able to allow that case to continue.
Liz, deputies and federal law enforcement agents were going in and out of this health massage parlor right behind me just about a few hours ago.
Just last week, Marshall's office hosted a summit where they took what authorities have learned in Alabama and passed it along to others.
The largest law enforcement gathering every year is one that we host for training. You know, we have the opportunity to set the agenda, and one of the agenda blocks this year will be human trafficking, so that we'll bring in some experts. It gives us a chance to broaden the knowledge, expand the training, and hopefully create more opportunities for enforcement.
All of the law enforcement individuals that we spoke to say they're trying to help the victims. Once someone is taken out of a trafficking situation, they then try to help them get some stability in their lives. Robin Wilburn with the Alabama Department of Labor says this is especially true when working with kids.
The teenager is not in trouble. We're not prosecuting them. And that's why a lot of times they're willing to answer our questions, because we've reiterated to them that they are not being held responsible. No penalty will be issued to them. And we also do not deport. We're not immigration.
For APR News, I'm Stan Ingold in Montgomery.